tell you later on, too. It just hit me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder if I should say
tease
it.
Me. Yeah, say it, but give us a little tease.
Okay, it happened yesterday. Trish and I were going somewhere. We're going up Losser, and an extremely violent, bizarre event happened behind me.
Really?
Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable.
I'm quite intrigued.
And I ended up being the critical person involved. Yeah.
How long is the story?
I mean, it's, well...
What a tease.
Let me try to find a way to juice it up a little bit.
I mean, it's a couple minute story.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah,
so it's pretty dramatic.
Well, yeah, I was the 911 person. Let's put it that way.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
I gotta hear this.
I was the one to make the call.
There's tape of it somewhere then.
Wow.
There would be. You're right.
God. Hey, 911.
Let's get you
out. What town was this in? Southfield?
This was in. Bloomfield Township, I guess.
Oh man, we need that 911 call.
Oh, God, would that man, be I'd probably funny sound here. Like an ass.
It's probably 8 minutes long too. It probably starts with what's going on, then detailed, then a recap at the end of everything.
Yeah, Mike has to give an opening introduction. He must have done well in writing class because he gives that opening introduction, the body of the story, and the conclusion, and then he almost does a reconclusion just in case you missed the conclusion.
My family is famous for that.
Amazing phone messages.
Yeah. You know what? I was on the phone with them for a long time. Come to think of it. If I were to hear it played back, I would be really troubled. I'm absolutely positive. So when I think back to it, it's like, I would not have sounded very cool.
it's hard to sound cool on a 911 call.
I think I sounded way too excited, way too bent out of shape, and I think I was repeating myself. I think I sounded too breathy.
Are you a hero?
No!
No?
No, no.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh.
Because if it wouldn't have been me, it would have been somebody else.
Oh, yeah, okay, sounds like you still could be a hero then. We'll be the judge of that.
Okay, you can be the judge of it.
I can't wait to hear.
Well, I hope they never produce those tapes because I know I would be very embarrassed at how it would sound.
June 21st at 3:30 p.m.
Hey, Bob, it's a Monday, 3:30. Mike Clark here. And, Bob, we were talking about my dad golfing at Wabik this week.
Oh,
and you talked about Wednesday or Thursday.
Why?
Wednesday would be better for you. And Wednesday is great for my dad. So let's lock my dad into Wabik this Wednesday.
Here's the body.
And I don't know what the best time is. He's available no matter whenever.
This is so painful.
I'm thinking maybe like 11 o'clock
really
or something, or 11 or 12.
What do you think?
Why don't we shoot for that?
It's amazing what you do. This. You really, you like to hammer information home, so there's nothing left to chance.
But the first time he wants to just bring himself.
But you know, it's never.
He would golf with you.
It's just not worth it because I think I spend so much time on the details. People space out, and it doesn't happen anyway. The details don't get handled because everyone fades out on me. But you know what?
You hear the main point three times in the introduction, the body, and the conclusion. So you really do sort of get, you know, okay, his dad's going golfing at Wabi.
Well, in this case, Bob was spectacular. He didn't drop the ball anywhere.
After 5 today.
Gazitis.
Yeah, how about that? Call me anytime today after 5, okay? And
that's kind of become the
conclusion. Where are we?
I'm going to call back.
We'll talk about it. I think you were going to meet him out there, maybe even play around or something.
I can't believe how long this message is.
And all that.
I can't.
And just need to find out a place where he can meet you.
You're looking for details. You are a detail nut.
So I'm rambling, so. But just figure this out. He's all excited. He's all excited. And I'll talk to you later on. Okay, man. I'll see you. Bye.
You got it out there.
Oh, no.
And there's no question what Bob is calling you back about. When is your dad starting? Where does he go? Is he playing with Bob?
What shoes should he wear?
Yeah, what shoes should he wear? I forgot about that. Well,
remember that all that was driven by the questions from my dad, who's equally detail-oriented.
Oh, I know. That's really funny.
That's why you get two people like that together.
It does seem some genetic combination
there's
there.
There's no question about it.
Okay, we've got a good story coming up for Mike, that's for sure. Something
9/11 related. I'm afraid I too overblew that.
No, don't underblow.
See, now I'm starting to get really nervous about the whole thing. I should have never brought it up.
You did call 911, correct?
I did.
There's a story. I mean, that's a story. Anytime you call 911.
All right, okay.
You you never blow stuff out of proportion.
You know, I don't think I really
October
do.
October 30th at 6:45 p.m.
Bitches.
Drew, Mike, it is over, my man. Oh, my God.
I don't know. Why did you call 911 yesterday? What in the world happened?
Okay, here's what happened. Trish and I were northbound on Lasser. We just passed Corton.
Yeah, Roger.
And all of a sudden, as I'm driving along, I suddenly became aware in my rearview mirror of this navy blue SUV that was driving really erratically, swerving left and right.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we're going along, and pretty soon this thing picks up speed and begins to travel at a damn good rate of speed, and
behind
now swerve behind me.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, real scary. And started wildly swerving left to right, almost leaving his lane.
Wow.
And it would just swerve way left, almost go off the road, then immediately swerve way right, almost go off the road. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm trying to think of how can I get away from this thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because whoever's driving this thing, they're going to get in an accident. I don't want to be a part of it. So pretty soon,
yeah, I prefer to be behind cars like that because I want to watch them.
Yeah, I want to watch them.
I don't want to be in any danger.
That's absolutely. So pretty soon, all of a sudden, this guy accelerates. I accelerate, and before long, we're both traveling at about 50 on Lasser. This guy is right on my bumper, wildly swinging left and right.
Oh, my God.
Almost clipping me as he swings right and left. His bumper is narrowly missing me each time.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I'm not going to let him try to go around me because he would totally hit me.
Yeah,
there's no
inside.
Question about it, you know. So this guy is all over my rearview mirror. He couldn't be closer. I mean, he's just like all over my mirror. And I mean, you just couldn't believe this SUV just way left, way all the way right, way all the way left. And so then I accelerate, and pretty soon I'm doing 80, and this guy is behind me still who's picked up a rate of speed now and is still swerving wildly like that.
Oh, my God.
And the terrain is now going by, and I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do? Do I try to lock bumpers and then try to slow him down and break us both down, bring him to a stop? Or what? You know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do about this? And I know there's a light coming up in about a half a mile that we're rapidly approaching. And it was just the most amazing dilemma you could ever imagine. So finally, by sheer luck, for me anyway, I floored it even more. And I just stepped on it and kicked up to about 90. And all of a sudden, he dropped back to maybe 50 or so. And then I started to slow down. And he starts, and he's still wildly swerving. All of a sudden, ooh, off the road, hits a mailbox, goes right through it. And I see the mailbox go right straight up in the air with all this dirt, just a geyser of dirt goes straight up.
Wow.
And once he hit that, it was awesome.
Okay, Mr. Clark.
It was awesome. Then he wildly swerves. Once he hit the mailbox on the right side,
uh-huh.
He wildly swerves left almost 90 degrees to the road.
Oh.
I mean, almost directly going across
right.
It. And, of course, sails off the road into the terrain, whatever that may be.
Wow.
And I just saw, all I saw was debris just wailing straight up into the air.
Oh, my
you know?
God.
Just, you know, I don't even just, whoa. And it was, oh, man, was that a violent accident. And I saw his vehicle, I think it flipped,
mm-hmm.
And it was just, oh, my God. So I came to a stop and turned around. And
you went back?
Yeah, I went back.
Wow, I wouldn't think you'd do that. I would think, thank God, my car's safe.
Well, I thought I have to at least call 911, you know, because whoever's in that vehicle has got to be dead or nearly so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was so violent. Well, there may have been a second I thought about it, actually.
Well, it depends if Trish, you got a lot to do.
If Trish wasn't there saying, Mike, you better call 911, I wonder whether I will. So I turn around and go back, and I see this navy blue Trailblazer. It's a Chevy Trailblazer, and it's off the road up against this tree, and all the and this other tree has been knocked clean down, and all this, you know, the dirt's all tore up and everything. And there's nobody behind the wheel, so I figure the guy's on a floorboard mm-hmm. or something like that, out, you know, something. Oh, do I get out and look at this carnage inside?
Well,
you know?
Probably already thinking heart attack or something, too, because he's swerving all over.
Yeah.
Or bombed.
Yeah, or bombed because it was St. Patrick's Day, you know what I mean? So
oh,
I was thinking maybe
yeah.
the guy was drunk, yeah. you know, he was falling asleep at the wheel.
Okay, dude!
You know, and all that sort of thing. So, but I thought, oh, man, do I want to look in that window? And I was just debating whether to get out of the car and check that out. When I became aware of, about 50 feet forward, was this big black guy in this navy blue coat just wildly staggering on the side of the road.
Oh, my God.
So by now I'm talking to 911. I called them up and I said, there's just been a horrific accident, you know, on Lasser between Lone Pine and Long Lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fine.
And you know, and they're all this stuff, you know, what you know, where is it exactly, and this, that, and the other. And I said, the guy was wildly swerving behind me, hit a mailbox, and he flew off the road, you know, and all this stuff.
Do you know if the guy's staggering drunk or staggering stunned from the accident?
That's what I don't know.
Right.
And I still don't know.
Oh, really? Bummer.
I really don't. I hope maybe one of the cops will call, because this guy is, like, wildly staggering, and he's holding his head.
Oh.
Then he falls down. Gets back up. By now, there's like five or six other cars on Lasser all stopped, wondering what's going on. And this guy is just walking southbound down Lasser on the side of the road, still staggering.
Sounds like he doesn't want to be at the scene.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And then once he fell down, he stayed on the ground for a little bit and then stood up and started to walk. And so naturally, I went, what's your name, what's your phone number, you know, and all this stuff, what kind of vehicle was it, who's on foot, what's going on, why is black guy's wearing a navy blue coat, you know, and he's walking southbound on Lasser.
Nice bus, guy.
Well, I didn't know what to Oh, nice. Nice positioning, Drew. Thanks a lot. Oh, great. Here, I thought I was helping the guy. Now well, I didn't know
you were going to have a citizen's arrest.
Obviously, I assumed he was terribly hurt from the accident, and in the worst shock, he was going to die from internal bleeding. I only cared for his welfare, as you know.
No, you did the right thing.
I was already talking to 911 about the accident. I mean, the fact that all of a sudden the guy appeared was sort of secondary.
Well, I would not have thought about St. Patrick's Day. Once I saw it, I would just be thinking, oh, this guy's holding his head, you know, God knows what's wrong with him.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day was something we were thinking about afterward. At the time, I thought it was, you know, that it must be just from just the horrific accident. He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I'm sure could be leaving the scene because you're out of it. I mean,
no, yeah, I think that happens all the time, you know.
Although
people
I think
have no idea what they're doing.
I think when you're drunk, it's automatic.
Yeah.
Whether you hit your head or not, you start leaving the scene.
Yeah. I guess.
Like, whoa.
You know, to this Who's moment, I don't know whether he was drunk. I mean, because this wasn't like drunks that drive, they swerve, but this was different. I mean, this was wildly
Could this be
insane
like I have a heart attack
swerving.
Or something?
That's exactly what I'm thinking, something like that.
But then he's staggering walking.
Than,
I mean, that's...
I know.
This sounds kind of drunk to me.
So what happens is all of a sudden, here comes an Oakland County cop, because we're going like, where's the cops? Where are the cops? You know, like a minute goes by, and this guy's still walking, falling, you know. And everybody by now is going, what the hell's going on? Some guy who was... lived behind where the guy's vehicle came to rest. He comes running out. The guy almost smashed my fence. He's worried about his fence. Thank God he didn't wreck my fence. So it was amazing. All of a sudden, the Oakland County cop comes roaring by with his lights on and passes the guy, you know, and keeps coming and then passes me. And we're waiting like, stop, you know, and then he gets down the road a piece. And there's so many cars stopped that he stops. Then he comes wheeling around, and then I flagged him over, like, over here. And this cop, badass-looking dude, comes just zooming up. And I thought, oh, man, he comes zooming up. And I said, the guy's right up over the hill on the left-hand side, navy blue coat. And he just had this look on his face, like, and he just it took off
a
shot, man.
Jeez.
He was on him in a heartbeat.
Oh, good thing somebody from MAD was there. Jeez.
I tell you what, man, that's when I realized that if the cops are after you, you know what I mean?
Oh, forget it.
Can you imagine?
Forget it.
Look at these guys. We've seen the helicopter videos of people being chased. They abandon their car after a big accident.
Come on.
Can you imagine what a rush that would be if that was you and you were in pursuit? I mean, this guy was such a badass, this county cop that pulled up like that. It was like, oh, God, I would not want that dude after me, man. I'll tell you that.
You know what, though? Of all those chases we've seen where the choppers are over them, aren't you amazed that there isn't at least one Barry Sanders who, you know, can at least make it exciting? These guys never get more than 10 steps. Where's your adrenaline? Are criminals short of adrenaline these days? Come on. Doesn't anybody have any wheels out there?
I'm telling you, it's so true.
I mean, I want to see a good chase.
Yeah, yeah. So to this day, to this moment, this happened yesterday in the afternoon, late in the afternoon. I don't know whatever happened. I don't know what was wrong with this guy.
Hold on, Tim. Tim wants to jump in.
Oh, he does?
Tim, okay. You have a theory?
Yeah, you know, he could have been a diabetic, because diabetics often present as drunks, just like you normally find somebody drunk. They stagger around. They don't know what they're doing. They're incoherent.
Wouldn't it be a coincidence a diabetic on St. Patrick's Day driving 80, swerving all over the place?
Well, not likely. It's more likely Mike's theory that he was, probably drunk, but...
Well, we don't know.
We don't know
what he is.
Actually, that's not my theory, actually, because... That's what I was telling Drew. It's not like he was swerving like you typically see somebody who's, they're drunk.
Kind of lazy swerving.
Good description. This was intense, wild, out of control, swerving way left, way right.
Yeah,
way
like somebody who
left.
Had no faculties whatsoever.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't tell you what that felt like to have that kind of swerving right on my bumper at almost 80.
I know, that's scary. Your adrenaline must have been pumping.
True, my heart was gone. I mean, when he finally, I felt bad, but on the other hand, I got to tell you, I was so relieved when he wailed out like that, because I didn't know what was going to, what do you do in that situation?
I don't know.
And I'm still
really
thinking
scary.
About it. You know, when I originally accelerated up to 80, I thought I was going to put distance between him and I and then get the hell off out of the way and swing off, turn left on an approaching street.
You have a light coming up. This guy could smash you from behind.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could be seriously hurt.
And I'm still wondering, like, what if he hadn't wiped out? What if? I mean, I found myself thinking about that this morning on the way in. What if he had maintained himself that tight to my bumper, wildly swerving left and right, knowing that light was coming up and we're at that rate of speed, what would I have done?
Well, I
don't know what I would have done.
Listen to this one. What if it goes to two lanes as you get to the light? You know, a lot of times it widens out to two lanes.
Right.
But if you go over to the right to get out of his way, he blows through that red light and bam! Kills a family of five.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, hell, that's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it still freaks me out to think, because that could have happened. It just so happens that when I accelerated up again beyond 80, that for whatever reason, you know, he, boom, just backed off the accelerator. Maybe he started to blink out at that point and suddenly fell back.
Wow.
And then sailed off the road, and then the huge accident happened. But you know what I mean? What would you do, though? Honestly, man. I mean, this guy,
he was right
on my bumper. I mean, inches.
I think I would try to take a quick right into somebody's driveway. I think I would try to get a little enough distance.
I know.
That is nuts.
I never thought he would accelerate up like that on me. I thought I was going to, again, the reason why I accelerated to begin
with. To get some distance,
to swing left off the street. I didn't know he would floor it with me.
Stop acting like 80's fast on Lost. You've gone well over 80, my man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you were in a comfort zone there.
Everything is fine.
Yeah. One time I was a little fast, Mark.
Well, gee, how long was your 911 call, do you think? Like 5 minutes?
No. Yeah,
I
right.
want to hear this thing.
You know what? They would have a tape. To hear it back, I'm sure I'd be so embarrassed. No.
Hey, Matt, it's Mike Clark. We've been talking about you on the air at 6:30.
Hey, come on.
I'm on the way to work with my sister and Trish right now at 6:30. And you know why? Because, Matt, the garage door was all the way down, and I felt pretty good today. I mean, I was well rested and everything, and I stepped out in the garage.
Extra information.
And I put it in reverse, and I slammed into the garage door. So, Matt, the truck is trapped in the garage. The garage wheels are off the runner.
The truck, it's an animate object. Like the truck's crying. Oh, God, that's funny.
Oh, man, my stomach.
I think that call is well worth listening to.
You know, I'd like to think that I stayed on point.
You may well have.
And then concisely answered her questions afterwards succinctly. No, but we all know that's impossible. I would hope I wasn't rambling with a 911. I don't think I was, but I think I probably sounded a little excited.
Hey, Nancy.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
I just, that other caller, Tim, was saying about diabetic.
Yeah.
And about last year, I had come off of the freeway, was at a red light, and this guy just came plowing up the ramp and just barreled right into me, then put it in reverse and took off, and about a mile later crashed. And what they told me was he was diabetic and, you know, Yeah, and he said he didn't know what he was doing. I was so pissed off because, you know, I was like, yeah, but he reversed and took off, you know.
crazy-ass diabetic. God. Yeah, can't they carry a candy bar around? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he has faculties to leave the scene afterwards.
Also a diabetic with a few pops in him, obviously.
Yeah. And, you know, I even went to court to try to get his license taken away because... They were like, oh,
that seems a little extreme.
And,
yeah,
you know,
I would have done that.
As an insulin shock.
Yeah. So I was very upset. But when that guy Tim said that, I thought, yeah, I've heard that, but, you know, if I believe it, I don't know.
Well, you know, you never know. He could be diabetic and also bombed. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it's possible.
But that's scary as hell. I mean, shouldn't diabetics be required to carry a candy bar at all times?
I know. I guess so.
Well, that's what Jake said to the judge. I go, obviously he's unsafe to drive, you know.
Well, if they're prone to these episodes while driving, right. I would say there should be something at the ready.
A candy bar is the antidote. I mean, seriously, there is an antidote.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they carry it with them if that's going to happen when they're driving?
Right. And then the guy proceeded to lie about his insurance, you know.
His
diabetes has nothing to do with any of this.
He must have ate a candy bar right after he had an accident, huh?
I don't know. That was a good thing you did, though, Mike, you know, calling 911.
I mean, I had to do that. There was an intent. Remember, at the time I called 911 was at the moment when I saw this thing go wheeling off the road into the embankment in an explosion of dirt and debris. At that point, I thought I witnessed a fatal accident. I'm serious.
Hey, hold on.
The idea that I saw this guy staggering afterward was I was already on the phone to 911 and then next to his vehicle at that point.
Thanks for calling, but I have to go to Ken, the comment here is, how to get a tape of the call? Hey, Ken.
How
do we get a tape of the call?
That's all I need is to be embarrassed by that.
You should be able to get it from the Freedom of Information Act.
Oh. Well, we need to learn how to do that anyway.
I can already see.
That's very valuable.
Boy, I see a future red-faced me.
No, I think this is going to be a proud moment for the show. We'll put it in the public file.
I'll tape and copy of the police report, find out what happened.
Yeah, well, you know I know.
Honestly,
I'm dying to know what happened.
I got to tell you, I would love to know what happened. Like I say, Oakland County Sheriff is one that responded originally, and I think, I don't know who came by. I think I don't know after that.
Hold on, Daryl?
Yes.
You're a diabetic?
Yes, sir. Insulin dependent for 15 years.
And do you carry a candy bar at all times?
Candy bar and insulin, depending on which way it goes. If it gets too low, you get tunnel vision, you start sweating, you get real weak. You sort of know.
Does Mike's driving story, does that sound like a diabetic going 80 and going 50?
Possibly, but the day that it happened, I still think green beer was probably his insulin.
Yeah, but again, I must tell you, I got to tell you, though, I mean, again, it wasn't...
Yeah, that, not like a drunk, I know what you're saying.
That lazy swerving, this was... Well, it started off as lazy swerving, though, but then it got to be wild, extreme, far left, far right swerving. But that's the same kind of swerving that was going on when we finally got up to near 80, you know?
Usually when I start feeling bad behind the wheel, which I am right now, as a matter of fact.
Pull over.
definitely. I find the nearest parking lot or something, and I've got my meter and everything else.
But see,
diabetics should have vending machines in their car. Because one candy bar isn't enough,
but
they're going to eat that, and then they're going to forget to go to the store and get another one.
Yeah.
They got glucose tablets, too, that's supposed to be...
under your tongue or something?
The same thing. No, it's like a little tablet, a chewy thing. But
could you imagine if you were in the throes of a diabetic problem, could you imagine that you would... be maybe passing out at the wheel, and that would account for the wild swerving left and right, maybe as you were going out of consciousness?
I think if you're passing out at the wheel, you're not really doing too much swerving. You just sort of like turn one way and end up in a ditch or a...
Kind of what he did, though.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, I'd love to know what happened to that. I'd love to know what the situation
was. Secondly,
Oakland
County will call.
Maybe so. And secondly, I really would, within myself, I'm still trying to figure out what if again? What if he hadn't suddenly, for no reason, slowed down and then gotten that accident? What would I have done?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
Because it keeps haunting me.
That's scary.
With that stoplight coming up, traveling at that rate of speed with somebody so wildly swerving left or right, immediately inches behind me, what I would have done.
We're going to take a break. Mickey Redman's coming up. He's playing in a charity game. Hey, we still haven't heard. I thought we'd hear from somebody in law enforcement about the results of your 911 call.
Oh, yeah. So what happened to that guy or what the deal was?
Yeah, and it was at Losser, and what was the cross?
Losser between Lone Pine and Long Lake. Yesterday afternoon, Oakland County Sheriff, yeah.
Guy was strange driving, just bizarrely behind Mike.
Yeah,
but eventually wiped out.
Yeah, exactly. It was just swerving wildly all the way left, all the way right. And,
Mike called 911 after he crashed.
Yeah, and eventually, and again, I tried accelerating to get some distance between me and this guy, wildly swerving like that, because he was gonna absolutely wail into me. I mean, this guy was right on my bumper, and certainly one of those wild swerves, he was gonna clip me in the process of swerving across the road. I thought if I floored it, I would put some distance in there, and then hurry up and hit the brakes and swing into a side street. Well, he accelerated with me. So now we're traveling at this ridiculous speed with this guy on my bumper. And then I punched it again. And then for whatever reason, the angel stepped in or something for my behalf as we're just roaring toward the stoplight at Long Lake. And all of a sudden, this guy just fell back. And then did he wipe out. He wailed right through a mailbox, exploded into debris, and then swung wild left. And off he went into God knows what territory, trees and rocks, and God, the debris field when this guy crashed.
When you went back, how far was he from the car where he was walking?
You know what, when I turned around and came back, in that amount of time, this guy was probably about 50 feet from his vehicle walking down Losser, but staggering wildly, holding his head, and he would fall down, and then he was sitting for a while, and then he stood up, staggering, and kept walking. And like I say, then Oakland County had showed up because I called 911, and the cop zoomed up. Oh, my God, again, this cop, he was one badass. And it was like, he's up over the hill on the left side, navy blue coat. Off he went with lights of flame.
I am dying to know the outcome of this thing.
No, I want to know. Was he drunk? Was he diabetic? And
there's a lot of options when you think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Speaking of all this
St. Patrick's Day, of course, everybody thinks the guy's hammered, but no, that's not necessarily so.
Yeah, because the way you put it was good when you're talking about when people are drunk, it's like a lazy swerving. And that's what it wasn't. It was a
violent
swerve. And by the way, all this cop talk, I should point out that last time when I was talking about getting a ticket for kind of rolling through a stop sign there. Unfortunately, yeah, I'd said that Southfield police had pulled me over.
Well,
and
we more or less accused Southfield of giving you a ticket, which is certainly their right. And
of course.
You sort of rolled through the thing, or you thought you did.
No. I deserved it. I never fought it. I didn't say anything. I didn't say who I was. Or I just took my medicine.
Well, the funny thing about it was that we were on the phone, and it was just so weird that you got a ticket while we're on the phone. And then, and then Southfield police just took umbrage at the idea that someone that, because we were really good friends, we were over there forever, and they used to come by all the time. And
yeah.
I didn't think you could get a ticket in Southfield.
Yeah.
But you didn't, it turns out.
It turns out,
because those guys, Southfield cops, were like, who gave you that ticket?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Oakland County, right?
Yeah, it was Oakland County. The guy was kind of standing a little bit behind me when we were talking. I really didn't take notes of his uniform.
What's Oakland County doing around in Southfield giving
him a ticket? I don't
know. That's really weird.
I don't know. But Kramer called me, and he said he woke up in the morning. He had like 8 messages on his machine that said, who is the that gave Mike a ticket? And they were really bummed out. So
stop sign ticket.
Southfield are great guys.
I thought you were supposed to roll.
Hey, there was nobody coming. There was absolutely nobody for miles. It was a dead road. I didn't come to a complete stop. But I didn't go wailing through the stop sign either.
Yeah.
And the cop was down the way, down 11 Mile Road a bit, parked in a parking lot. His lights go on. Again, I thought he was going on a run, so I waved him. That was so stupid. He's like, go ahead. I know you're on a run. He waves me. No, you idiot. I'm pulling you over. You go first.
Oh, that's funny.
And I wave him again. No, you. No, you. Sorry about that, Southfield. In Oakland County, hey, whatever.
Hang on. I'll be right back. It's 8:50.